So are we ready? Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's a great day. Today is the feast, the celebration of the conversion of St. Paul. It's also the day that we celebrate the Infant of Prague. Glorious time, glorious day. And we're going to focus on the way of living in the divine will, part one. And the interesting thing about this is there's no rules or regulations in the divine will. And yet Jesus shows us how to do this. And it's up to each and every one of us whether or not we want to enter into this gift fully or partially. He says that he wants to fill us 100%, but he says that in the sacred scripture, do you want 30, 60, or 100-fold? And when we enter into this gift, how glorious it is. So on page one, we'll begin, okay, in volume one. And this is, again, living in Louisa and Living in the Divine Will, part one. There's two parts to this. The next part will be February 8th. We'll do this again for part two. So Jesus taught me the way how to love people without detaching myself from him. So again, this is a very difficult thing for most of us. What we have is we have our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners that have a different perspective than us. Let's just put it that way. And a lot of times we say, how do I have to become patient with this person? Or how do I have to become understanding? How do I have to become loving? And Jesus knows this, and he shows us this with this great gift of the divine will. To be the divine will in the midst of creatures, to have the divine will reign in the midst of creatures is what Jesus wants of us. So he says, Jesus teaches me the way of how to love people without detaching myself from him. That is, by looking at creatures as images of God. Okay, so that's the first thing. You know, it says in scripture to love God as you love yourself. Well, why do you love yourself? You love yourself because Jesus is there. When we're baptized, we are baptized as priests, prophets, and kings. We are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that means that God reigns in us. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We are ontologically changed and become sons and daughters of God. That's the glorious thing about baptism. Ontological change, a completely different change. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. So Jesus is saying, we have to look at the people around us as images of God. This is what God wants. This is why we are here. In such a way that if I receive good from souls, from creatures, I was to think that God alone was the prime author of that good. Okay, so if somebody smiles at you, it's Jesus smiling. If somebody, is gracious to you, that's Jesus speaking to us. Telling us of his great love, the prime author of all that is good, and that he used the creature in order to send this message to me. My heart would be bound, therefore, more to God. So when we begin to see things around us with joy, with peace, with happiness, we begin to see God. But he also wants to show us mortifications, sorrows, and sufferings. Everything that we go through, whether it's peace, joy, and happiness, or misery, sorrow, suffering, Jesus says he wants us to know that he is there with us, okay? So he says, if I then receive mortifications from others, I was to look at them also as instruments in the hand of God for my sanctification. A lot of people, I remember this one person asked me to come to his house to bless his house, and tragedy occurred in that home. And he said to me, why did this happen? My house was blessed. How could this happen here? And I went, can you imagine what would have happened if your house wasn't blessed? And, the person was a good soul, but God was very far from him. And he thought that this was like magic, you know, a blessing. Again, God blesses us. He heals us. He brings us to this awareness of this great gift of God. And he wants us to recognize that with these blessings, I mean, when you pray in the morning, when you pray in the evening, you're getting closer to God. And there will be mortifications. There will be sufferings. It doesn't mean that you're free of those sufferings. It doesn't mean that you're free of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. But God gives us the way to get through this without worry, without fear, without anxiety, without complaints, without negativity, without sin. And this is what's so great about this great gift of the divine will. We're all fallen creatures, all of us, each and every one of us. And this is why God has given us the sacraments and the sacramentals, so that we can go to confession, confess our sins, and with a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. This is so glorious. And little by little, our hard hearts, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our misery begins to disappear from us. We have to work at it. It just doesn't happen overnight. Think of all the years of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's all got to be repaired. And that's why he gives us this great gift of the divine will. So he says, so therefore I look at these miseries also as instruments in the hand of God for my sanctification. For example, we're here listening about this great gift of the divine will because of what we've gone through. And a lot of it is suffering. A lot of it is difficulties where we have to turn to God. I mean, we are so stubborn. We are so selfish. We are so self-centered that Jesus tells Louisa, I have to use chastisements to wake us up. A lot of people can't change their way of life until they're in the gutter. And that's basically where most people go. All of us, very, very few are saints. Even you read the lives of the saints, you look at St. Teresa, St. Francis, you know, St. Clair. You read the great saints, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross. Every one of them had to go through a purification. And this is what Jesus says. In this way, excuse me, so that my heart would not remain huffy with my neighbor. The miseries that we go through are to purify us, to help us understand that we have to be like Jesus. Jesus allowed Judas to kiss him. Jesus allowed the chief priests of the Pharisees to crucify him, to want, to demand his crucifixion. And in the same way, what God is asking us is to be like him, you know, to be like him. So that our hearts will not remain huffy with our neighbor. In this way, it happened that I would look at all creatures in God. So here, Jesus has taught Louisa to look at all creatures in God. Look what happened to Louisa. She was misunderstood. She was abandoned. She was spit upon. She was laughed at. She was ridiculed. She was called all names in the book. That happens to us as well. So be it. This is a way of purifying us. We have to go through being rejected, as Jesus was rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, persecuted, spit on, laughed at. You need to wear your scapular, you pray the rosary, you go to Holy Mass, you attend First Saturday Masses, you keep holy the Sabbath, you know, and you're laughed at, you know, you're ridiculed. You know, we're going to have a family get together, and how dare you, you know, not be with us to party. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting together at, you know, family celebrations. But as we know, certain celebrations you can't participate in. And it's you could say thank you, but no thank you. I'll try to help you later. I'll be there with you later. But I can't concur in certain things that are going on. And again, you'll be to keep holy the Sabbath is such a great thing, you know, making sure that everything that we do on that day, the Lord's day, is in honor of him. a lot of times, I mean, this, you can, you know, have family dinners and you should have family dinners and, you know, get together to rejoice in God. It's not another sports day. It's not another day where you entertain yourself. See, we have to begin to understand what Jesus is asking. He's, if, as Catholics, to keep holy the Sabbath, not only do we go to Holy Mass, but we make that day the Lord's Day. And we have to teach the children this at a very early age. It's not, you know, harsh, but it's to understand the love of God. And this is what Louisa says. She says this very, very clearly. It happened that I would look at all creatures in God. Whatever fault I might see in them, I would never lose esteem for them. And this esteem is very important. My spiritual director always would say that esteem is essential in our life, to esteem people, to recognize who they are. And as what Jesus is saying is they live in his holy divine will. He has called them to be his children. Through holy baptism, they begin to live his life. If they mocked me, I felt obliged, thinking they were allowing me to make more gains for my soul. Do we do that when we're mocked? If they praised me, I received the praises with contempt. Or do we do that? Today, this, tomorrow, they will hate me. You have to understand, mankind is fickle. It doesn't matter how many praises you get. That's nothing. What matters is how many praises we give to God, to adore God, to love God, to praise God, to thank God, to worship God. He is our Savior, our King, our Master, our God. And it says, you have to consider their inconstancy. In sum, my heart acquired such freedom that I myself cannot explain it. And the freedom is from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. The freedom is to begin to live a life that God gave to Louisa. You know, when you listen to Father Bucci, when he says, when he met Louisa, we say, what did you recognize in her more than anything else? And he said, well, physically, he said it was her eyes. He said her eyes were very heavenly. And then he said, just like St. Padre Pio said, just like St. Honorable de Francia said, her life was more of heaven than of earth. And that's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to enter into this abundant life, asking us to begin to live this life of heaven. Okay? So he says, Louisa says, she acquired such freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from worry, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, complaints, and negativity. That's not part of our life. A lot of times people call us. They want to talk to us. Why? So that they can share with us their misery. And this happened, and then this happened, and then they said this, and then they did that. And then with us in the divine will, we have to get to the point of saying, well, this is a fiat that God wants you to go through. Instead of saying, and yeah, and this is what happened to me, and this is what they said about me. It's like God is asking us to be free of that, to be free of worry, fear, anxiety, negativity, sin, to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. This is what the divine will is all about. It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that's found in Louisa. So then Jesus continued to tell me, I have made great designs upon you. He says this to us. Do you believe it? You have been baptized Catholic. This is a magnificent gift. This is the universal life that Adam lost, this Catholic life, this oneness with God, being fused with God. This is what God gave to Adam, and Adam lost it. Do we believe that Jesus is saying this to us? I have made great designs upon you. He's given you the book of heaven. He said to Louisa, I can't wait until the book of heaven is given to the world. I can't wait. He says, this is what I was going to teach Adam, but Adam failed. So what he said is, I've planned to give it to you. Why? So that as you begin to live it, the world changes. Nothing is the same anymore. I have made great designs upon you. Put that on your, write that down and tape it to your mirror in your bathroom. So when you wake up in the morning, this is what God wants you to know. I have made great designs upon you. I have great plans. And if you can cooperate, great things will happen. See, it's that cooperation, it's that docility, it's that submission, it's that surrender to God that he's looking for. As long as you correspond to me, that's the docility. As long as you correspond to me, God, watch what I'm going to do. So as Catholics, we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. We look at Jesus. Jesus is there. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of God is there. He imprisoned himself in the Holy Eucharist. And if you read the calendar yesterday, how powerful that is. He shows us why he imprisoned himself in the Blessed Sacrament, why he is there. He knows what we're going through, and he wants to console us. But again, he says, as long as you correspond to me, as long as you go to me, and it's be in front of the monstrance, be in front of the Blessed Sacrament, isn't to read a book. It's not to pray your prayers. It's to fall in love with Jesus. It's to look at him, to adore him, and to praise him, and to love him, and to thank him, and to bless him. This is what God is asking of us. He says, I, God, want to make of you a perfect image of me. That's what he did with Adam. He breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And we say Adam, and that's almost like diminishing what God has done. Image and likeness of God came out of the dust. And that's what Jesus says. Do you know why I've chosen you? Do you know why I've created you? And this is the reason why the evil one wants abortion or artificial means of birth control. The evil one wants this. Jesus says, of all that I have made is a work of God. What a child is a life of God. Infinite life that will last, will be with him forever in all eternity. I want to, this is what you write and tape to your mirror in the bathroom. I want to make of you a perfect image of me, not of yourself, but of God. What's going to happen is if you really begin to tape things to your mirror, there's not going to be a mirror there because of what these truths, these divine realities that Jesus wants us to be aware of. As you paste them to the mirror, as you read the Book of Heaven and say, I love this. I want to remember this. What happens at that point is you won't be looking at yourself anymore. You'll be focusing on what God is calling you to become. From, it says, beginning from the moment I was born until my death, I wanted to make of you a perfect image of me. So why did Jesus come to the earth? Adam lost that image and likeness of God. So Jesus says, I come to earth as man, God, man. Why? To make of you, he says, from the moment I was born to the moment I died, an image of me. This is so glorious that when we forget about ourselves, again, like I said, we're selfish, we're self-centered, we're miserable human beings. That's how do you know what your human will is? By going to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry for this life that I'm living. And I don't want to live this life any longer. I want to begin to live an abundant life. I want to begin to live a life that of in reflection of you. I don't want to be miserable anymore. So what God is saying to us is when we recognize, making a true confession, I want to avoid the near occasions of sin. I make a promise to live a life closer to you, coming closer to you. This is what God is waiting for. He's really waiting for us to recognize what our human will is and say, I don't want to live like this any longer. I want to use my free will to choose no longer to live the human will, no longer to live that miserable life that I have to confess every week, but to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says this, I myself shall teach you He says, a little at a time. This is our great joy. He doesn't, it's not like Thanksgiving where you stuff yourself, where you're full and get sick. It's a little at a time. Every day, God is going to feed us. He's going to teach us of how to become in his image and likeness. This is why this is volume one. We're reading from volume one. What's coming is a new era. What's coming is a new beginning. And it's really not new. It's what God gave to Adam. It's to begin to live an abundant life that Adam lost. He says, I myself, as God, as Lord, as Savior, as King, I will teach you a little at a time the way you shall end up in my image and likeness. And that's what the Book of Heaven is all about. As you read the Book of Heaven, like I mentioned, the calendar, if you're reading the calendar every day, how glorious is this? It's really a new beginning. So again, volume one, again, it seems to me that the ways in which the Lord has spoken to me are four, since these four ways of speaking of Jesus are very different from the inspirations. Now, the inspirations are what the saints have received, okay? When you read St. Faustina, now how did St. Faustina come into existence? You're going to really get a kick out of this one. Our Lord brought Louisa to the throne of God to talk, to be with the Father. And the Father showed Louisa divine mercy. When Louisa returned to earth, she was so overwhelmed. She said to Jesus, you must tell the world about your divine mercy. This is the prayer of Louisa. You must let everyone know your merciful love. A year later, St. Faustina was born. It's because of the prayer of Louisa. Because of her prayer, we have divine mercy. And what does Jesus say to St. Faustina? He says to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. The divine will is not a devotion. A lot of people say, well, I have St. Francis, I have St. Teresa, I have St. John of the Cross. I don't need anything. I don't need another devotion. This is not a devotion. The divine will is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is given to one person, Louisa Picaretta. This life that God gave to Louisa, God wants us to possess. But we have to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. Like I said, we have to go to confession each week. God wants us to enter into this life. So he says, Louisa says, there are four ways that Jesus speaks, and they're very different from the inspiration of the saints. The first way is that the soul goes out of herself. Okay, so see, there's no time or space in the divine will. Okay, so to go out of yourself is to be with Jesus. To go out of yourself is to be with the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. To go out of yourself is to be with Jesus at Bethlehem, to be with Jesus at Nazareth, to be with Jesus at Gethsemane, to be with Jesus. And what happens is the three powers that God gives us, our intellect, memory, and will, what happens at that point is we begin to think with the mind of Christ. Now, the church teaches us this, the mind of Christ. The great gift that was given to the church was Humani Vitae in 68. And most, if not all, said, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. And because of that, God had to say, okay, this is what you want. This is what I have to give you. And what we can see is no children. I remember Father Gobi told us that when he left Mexico and came into the United States, he crossed the border basically and he said, where are they? And people go, where are who? And he says, where are the children? When I was in Mexico, I was surrounded by children. I was surrounded by life, by children, baptized children. He says, once I crossed the border, there was no children. Schools are closing all over the place. Why? There's no children. So what we said, The church says this is how you have to think of human life. What is human life? Humani vitae. And people said, no, I will not obey. I will not serve. I will not obey. Echoing the voice of Lucifer. I'm not going to obey. And we are in a situation now where yesterday, you know, the March for Life. And if you haven't heard the president's talk, here is a non-Catholic who speaks so Catholic. I haven't heard priests talk like this. I haven't heard bishops talk like this. He's not afraid. He knows what life is. And as a matter of fact, his anniversary of his marriage to Melania was the 22nd. It was the 14th anniversary of their marriage. I know people that know things that they're working on his marriage and annulments of his previous marriages. Pray for him. Pray for everybody, but especially our leaders, that they can lead us, direct us, guide us. I was looking at just the other day, the prayer that we used to pray in the old Missalette, the Latin English Missalette. Look at the prayer that's there for the government workers, for the government, for the president and governors. To the esteemed governor, it says. We got to pray. And this, what you're going to learn in the divine will is Our Lady says, I'm going to teach you more powerful prayers, prayers that are so powerful. Our Lord says, you know, with this command prayer, I'm going to teach you how to begin to pray like Peter did when Peter walked on the water. When Peter was walking on the water, he said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Take my prayer and make it your command, Lord. Jesus says, come. And what happens? Peter walks on the water. Humans don't walk on the water. You can see the power of this, of the command prayer. And Jesus teaches us what this command prayer is. It's so amazing. It's so astonishing that the Lord has planned for us to live at this time to change the face of the earth. And that's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Lord, will renew the face of the earth through us. This is what's coming. A new era is beginning. A new era has begun. You remember when Jesus said to the apostles 2,000 years ago, when he taught, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. With Louisa, you're going to see something more powerful. You're going to see this. So he says, the first way is when the soul goes outside of herself. Louisa says, I now want to explain a little bit better this going out of myself. It happens two ways. First, it is instantaneous, almost like a flash. It is so sudden that it seems to me that the body would lift a little bit from the bed in order to follow the soul, and then the body would stay there. It seemed to me that the body would remain as dead while the soul would follow Jesus, walking throughout the whole universe. You know, the one thing that astonished me when I first went to Corrado and we looked at Luisa's socks, you know, here's the socks she wears. Oh, this is good. And they were dirty. They had holes in them. And I would go, can't they even give her some clean socks? Here she is in bed, and they give her these old, holy socks, dirty, stained. And then I read this. He says, I would follow Jesus, walking throughout the whole universe. Here it is proving that when they would change her socks, they would go, she hasn't been out of bed, but her socks are completely ripped apart, dirty, filthy. And when you go to Corrado, check those socks out. It's really a riot, because why would she have these dirty, holy socks? Dirty, holy. That's pretty funny. Okay, so walking through the whole universe. Now, As you begin to enter the divine will, your prayer life changes. Don't think that God will not want to do this with you as well. Don't limit God. If he wants to take you through the universe, let him. The earth, the air, the seas, the mountains, purgatory, heaven. There are many times Jesus showed me the place where I shall be after I die. There's no time or space in the divine will. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Let Jesus take you where he wants to take you. Your memory has to be of Jesus, not of what they said about you, about me, not what they said about your family, what they did against your family. It's to begin to live this abundant life. That's what Jesus wants. He says, and let him show you the place where you're going to be after you die. Death is, that's our human body. Scripture says it's food for worms. If we had the glorified body, that'd be a completely different thing. But this body that we have gets old, wrinkled, gray-haired, and we die. Good. Good. I don't want to live like this forever. I want that glorified body that Jesus and Mary have, the new Adam and the new Eve. The other way, this is Louisa, then for the soul to go out is more quiet. It seems to me that the body dozes off insensibly and remains as though petrified in the presence of Jesus Christ. This happens more often than you can imagine. I truly believe that the reason the people who read the Divine Will, the Book of Heaven, are happy, peaceful, joyful, is that God takes us with him as we're reading. It's like a divine anesthesia that it gives us. And we're with him, and he teaches us as God, as Lord, as Savior, as Master. But he doesn't want us to remember, so we come back to our bodies. A lot of times when you go on a retreat, the first, say if it's a day retreat, you sleep. Or if it's a week retreat, you sleep half the week. Is because grace is exhausting. You fall asleep. Remember the apostles, they slept. And Jesus says, right, remember after the Last Supper? They were exhausted. They were filled with grace. They were exhausted. And they fell asleep. And he says, can't you stay awake for an hour? This is where we try to discipline ourselves in order to be awake with Jesus. It's necessary. When we do the 24 hours of the Passion, you'll see late at night, Louisa says, I want to stay awake, but I keep on falling asleep. And Jesus asked her not to sleep. He asked her not to eat. He asked her not to get out of bed. He asked her not to drink. For 64 years, Louisa was obedient. Jesus asks us similar things, but not as extreme, because we get upset when we get a sliver in our hand or our foot. Jesus wants us to begin to live the life with him. And he says very, very clearly, it seems that the body dozes off insensibly and remains as though petrified in the presence of Jesus Christ. However, the soul remains with the body, and the body no longer feels anything of external things. And even if all the universe turned upside down, even if they burned me up and reduced me to pieces, there would be no feeling. These two ways are so different of going out of myself, I have noticed sensibly, because in the first way, having to obey the confessor when he would come to wake me up, I would see him from the place where Jesus would lead me. That is, from the ends of the earth, or from the air, or from the mountains, from the sea, from purgatory, or even from heaven itself. So every day, every evening, Louisa would be frozen, petrified, weighing like a ton, and nobody could move her. If she fell asleep with her arm up, her arm was up that point for the rest of the night. And the priest would have to come, and the priest would bless Louisa by saying, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. Does it sound familiar? This is how Louisa woke up every day, by the priest. Only a priest could wake her up to bring her back to her senses. And she would say, that it was more painful to be alive than to be with Jesus. More painful to remain in the human body than to be with Jesus. So then these are the two ways which the soul seemed to go out of the body in, he said, she says, and in the these two ways in which the soul goes out, God speaks to me. Now remember, Jesus is the Word. He wants to speak to you. He needs to speak to you. He is speaking to you. But we can't hear him with our ears. We have to enter into a silence. That's why with the prayer meetings, we try to pray the Holy Rosary. Why? To quiet ourselves from the confusion, the frustration, the anxiousness of the world. You pray the Holy Rosary with the Blessed Mother and you are at peace. And then begin to read what Jesus tells Luisa. Begin to hear him speaking to you. In this way of speaking, he calls himself intellectual speaking. I shall try to explain it. After the soul has gone out of the body, finding herself before Jesus, she has no need of words to understand what the Lord wants to tell her, nor does the soul need to speak in order to make herself understood. But by means of the intellect, oh, how well we understand each other when we are together. See, it's to begin to live an abundant life with Jesus, the Word of God speaking to us. And there's you're not speaking with your mouth. God is speaking to your heart, your mind, your soul, your intellect. Your memory becomes of Jesus speaking to you, not of what the slave said to you, and then your human will. Your human will begins to, we say, I don't want the human misery anymore. I use my free will to choose to live in God's holy divine will. From, look, this is it, from light that comes from Jesus into my own intellect, I feel everything that my Jesus wants to make me understand being impressed within me. Now today is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. A light was around Peter. Everyone saw the light. Nobody heard Jesus, but everybody heard. There was one of those two things. The light was around Paul. And yes, they heard, but they did not see the light. Jesus is bringing into us a different light. It's not the light of redemption that Paul was being brought into. This is the light of sanctification. This is a light that Jesus tells us. It's, you know, the saints have a nimbus around their head, a halo around their head. With Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, it's not a nimbus. It's a light that emanates from them. Look at our Lord at Mount Tabor. Jesus was clothed with the light of the sun, more brilliant than the light of the sun. Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun, light radiating from her. This is what God has planned for us. It's not just a nimbus of doing the will of God, but living in the will of God. God has saved the best for last. We are in the end times. And why do we say we're in the end times? Because John Paul II said that. He said, we are in the end times. And people said, why are you saying it's the end times? And he says, well, Paul said that 2,000 years ago. And if that was what he said 2,000 years ago, he says, we're more in the end times now than Paul was. We are in the end times. So how do we know this? Our Lady of Revelation said this to Bruno. Our Lady said, Bruno, time has now come to an end. That was in 1947, 73 years ago. Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer's reign. The kingdom is coming. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. He didn't give this to the saints. The saints were to teach us how to do the will of God. The book of heaven teaches us how to live in the will of God. Okay, we have to understand this. This is not a devotional life. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what the Lord is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life, not just doing the will of God. That's what we learn from volume 1 through volume 10, how to do the will of God. Once we get into volume 11, it's how to enter into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, which no saint was ever given. That's why I ask people to begin to read volume 11. Volume 1 is tough. It's Jesus shows us that he crushes Louisa. Why? He says, I have to remold Louisa from the fallen human nature, redeemed, to the new era of being sanctified. Our Lord loves us very much, and he's got great plans. But this is not anything that you've ever read from the saints. The saints give us glimpses of this, of doing the will of God, volume 1 through volume 10. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, not even St. Honorable de Francia read all the volumes. And what is volume 20 through volume 36? How to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what's coming. There is nothing to worry about. It's not the end of the world. It's a new beginning for mankind. This is what God has planned. This is what God wants for us. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, and I find herself before Jesus. She has no need of words in order to understand what Jesus wants to tell her, nor does the soul need to speak in order to make herself understood, but by means of the intellect. Oh, how well we understand each other when we are together. This is what happens to us in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. There's no words. It's you begin to enter into a life that the saints only dreamed of. From this divine light that comes from Jesus into my intellect, I feel everything that my Jesus wants to make me understand being impressed within me. This way is very high, very sublime, so much so that the nature can hardly adapt itself to explain it with words. This gift of the divine will is divine. A lot of times when Jesus tries to explain it to us through Louisa, she has to use her human terms. And this is why sometimes it seems different than what the saints have said, because it is. And you have to begin to understand that you have to learn the language of heaven. That's why reading it every day, studying it every day, putting it into practice every day is so essential. With any language, the more that you enter into that gift of that language, the more you understand it. The more fluent you become, the more you understand. And that's what Jesus is asking of us. Do you want to understand this language of heaven? Read. That's why we encourage the calendar. If you read the calendar every day, you will go through all 36 volumes. Now, as you read, some days there's a few more pages, but it's usually about 150 pages a month that you read for each month. And when you really break it down, it's not that much. But your whole life changes. Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is speaking to you. He says, this way of Jesus making himself understood is extremely rapid. In one simple instant, one learns many sublime things, more than by reading entire books. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. His divine sweetness, his divine loveliness, his divine gesture, is the gentleness of Jesus' speaking is so great. They are so great. And he is so beautiful that as soon as the soul sees Jesus, she feels so drawn that sometimes the speed with which she runs after Jesus is so great that almost without realizing it, she finds herself transformed into the beloved. That's God's goal for us. In such a way that the soul is no longer capable of distinguishing her terrestrial being. That's why I said, you put these things on the mirror, after a while, you're not going to even look at yourself. It's to look at Jesus. He says, in such a way that the soul no longer is capable of distinguishing her terrestrial being, so much is she identified with the divine being. So I'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.